Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Do you remember when you found the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I have a couple of baptismal certificates to give out today. One is to Miss Abby Ann Reasons. Baptized in Jesus' name, back in the month of August. And then another to Brother Josh. Baptized 3 weeks ago now, right out here in the river. Amen. You take that and put it somewhere where you can see it. Somewhere where you can see it. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated for a minute. Brother Morrell is here with us today, and I want him to come and greet you and say a few words, whatever he feels like doing. Amen. He's down visiting with us this week, and this man is my friend, but more importantly, he is a friend of God. And I appreciate you, Brother Morrell.
Thank you, Brother Reasons. Oh, my, it's wonderful to know there's a vibrant, alive church in Clarksville. Man, this is wonderful. Praise God. God is so wonderful. I'm proud to be a child of God. How about you? Aren't you glad he baptized you with the Holy Ghost, put his presence in your life? You know, it's been 33 years now. Some of you got it a lot longer than I have, but it's kept me every step of every day of my life. He is so wonderful. I'm about ready to skin you. You jumped the gun on me. It's all right. Brother Reese said that's okay. How much time do I have, brother? It's almost 12 o'clock. That's lunchtime. That's time to eat. What you talking about? What you talking about? I have been working on this message for 3 months. Or better. Oh, my. Can I preach? Thank you. Just so you know, I'm an old-timey preacher, man. I still got notes. I not got it on one of them little tablet things. Them's nice. I ain't lying. But I'm just an old-timey preacher, man. Praise God. Yes, sir. It just feels so wonderful in here. There's just a... Yes, this is the Holy Ghost. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my presence, my spirit, upon you. I'm glad God gave me the Holy Ghost. Praise God. There's yet some things that God wants to do in this place today. If you'll allow me a few minutes, we'll get to that. Amen. I'd like to minister here for a little while, and I'll give you the abbreviated version of 3 or better months worth of praying and studying. Standing on the rock. Praise God. If you got your Bibles, please turn with me. It's so wonderful to be in Clarksville here again, to be with the Heartland Pentecostal Church. Man, it is my great delight. It is my utmost pleasure to be able to be here and preach to you. Now, as y'all may have heard, we closed our church because of lack of attendance about back at Easter Sunday. It was our last Sunday, and I hadn't preached since then, so get ready. I told Brother Reason, I don't know if I still know how to preach or not. Here in the 33rd chapter and the 21st verse of Exodus. That's the second chapter in the Bible. It's up close to the front. Y'all get there. I have heard and been told, my pastor told me, so it's got to be the truth, that you retain 65% if you hear it and read it while it's being heard. So if you just read it, I believe it's like 25%. If you don't read it, it's zero. So here we go. Exodus 31 and 21. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Praise God. Elder Reasons, would you please pray for us?
Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for that rock. God, that it would give us a firm, unshakable confidence in your word and in your kingdom. And this is Brother Morrell in the next few moments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor gave me a few moments. Praise God. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I will try to be quick here. There's a special place by God for the saint of the Lord. Man, God has a way of keeping us through all things. Do we recognize the place where our feet are standing? Do we recognize the place where our feet are standing? Praise God. Oh my. Take you first back to Exodus, the third chapter, verses 4 and 5, by a very unknown fellow in the Bible by the name of Moses. Greatly known man. Even they were preaching about him when Jesus was around. They was talking about Moses. We're still talking about Moses today, 4,000 years later. So, all right. In Exodus, the third and the fourth chapter, as Moses comes to this place, and he was back in the back 40 tending the sheep. God had him back there training him to be a great preacher, a great leader of men. And Moses looked over in the fourth verse, and third verse, and Moses said, "I will turn now and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt." And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Draw not thither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." First, I want us to recognize who God is. God is holy, and everything he does is perfect and pure. And I'm still trying to relate how holiness and love correspond together. I haven't quite got that one all together figured out, and God hadn't gave me the revelation I'm desiring, but I'm still seeking, been seeking for it for some time. But God is holy. And driven by that holiness is God's love. And God had a special purpose for the man named Moses. And he called him that day. He had his bush. Could you imagine just out tending the sheep over there, just whistling and whittling and taking care of the sheep, and all of a sudden this bush just erupts in flames. I don't think it was some little kindle of fire. I think it was flowing. I mean, he got his attention. What is that? Imagine Brother Vandy being out in the woods, and all of a sudden this bush just... get 911. But here God reveals himself to Moses. God had a place for Moses. God had a plan for Moses' life. God's got a place for you. And God's got a purpose for your life as well. Today, God wants you to recognize that there is a place. There is a rock that is higher than I. David said, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Amen. And we can stand on the rock. Everybody saying that the troubled times, look up, look up. I'm telling you, look down. Wherever you go, wherever you walk, you're standing on the rock. Amen. When the Lord first started revealing this to me, I said, "Man, this is awesome, God. I've been told to look up all my life. You know, and I'm missing something. Because it's down here where we're walking. We're walking with God. Every step we take, it's in God. It's in the Holy Ghost. Here it is. We're standing on the rock." Hallelujah. In the scripture, it talks about Mount Zion. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in mountains and dug pretty deep, you're going to find rock. Standing on the rock. I got a place up there in the mountains where I deer hunt. A friend of mine went to high school with him, went to grade school with him. We've been a long-time friend. Some fellas was poaching on him. Said, "Would you come over here and hunt my property?" "Well, I'll be glad to." So a fellow last year put a two-man, one of his permanent stands up in a tree. I couldn't believe it when I came. I went and told him, I said, "You better get up here and look." But anyway, I made me a food plot in there this year. Right where that stand was, I took my rototiller, trotted up through. And I'm telling you, that thing, there was more rocks up there. I hope, I don't know, I've been back to look after it. I hoped something come up and grew. Yeah, man, but a mountain, Mount Zion is a rock. You know where they built the church? They built the permanent tabernacle of God. Take a guess. On Mount Zion. On that rock. Praise God. In Job, he made the statement, "Oh, that I may know him." Why do you think Job said that? He had hadn't felt God. He hadn't heard from God. He felt like everybody deserted him. He felt like God done fell out of favor with the Lord. Killed all his family except his wife. Killed all his servants. Killed all his animals. Took away everything. I just say, kill me, God. You might as well. But what Job realized in the latter end was he was standing on the rock. Yes. Amen. Sometimes when we're in those hard places, sometimes when we can't feel God, 6 months, and where are you, Lord? Went through a place one time, it was 6 months. I hadn't felt God, but every day I was praying. Every day I was still worshiping God. It's all I knew to do. I didn't have anything else. There wasn't nothing else to do. There wasn't no rejoicing. There wasn't no joy. But I was trying to find God. And when I realized, 2 weeks after I had realized I was back in the presence of the Lord, that's how habitual it had come not to know God. 2 weeks I was sitting there, I said, no, this has been different for a while. God's around now. Yeah, that's how hard a place it was. But the whole time, I was standing on the rock. Here I was looking up. I should have been looking down. Standing on this rock called God. Amen. We must remember that there is a special place for us that God has prepared for each of our personal lives, for each of our own ways. And when we realize that, we can also interject into it that I'm on the part of the rock that God wants me to be on. I'm in this church.
Yes.
Amen. In Psalms 27, the great psalmist David went through all kinds of troubles. David went through all kinds of trials. David was hurt. David was chased of Saul, the king that was supposed to be his buddy. He married his daughter, his father-in-law. And here's father-in-law trying to kill him. Could you imagine what that would be like trying to face and on the run? My. But David had learned something. God took David through these places. God led him to these places. It was purposed in God's life for him to go there. It was in the plan of the Lord to do what David had to do. Just like some things you may be going through right now, God has a purpose. God has a plan for your life. And he's going to bring you into a place where you'll recognize you're standing on the rock. God's not forsaken you. God didn't forsake David. He said, lo, I'll be with you what?
Always.
Always. Praise God. How long is always? It's always. In Psalms 27 and 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. So when is that troubled time? When it's hard times, when there's fiery trials, you got to remember, I'm set upon this rock. And look down and see, I'm walking with God.
Yes,
although it seems, you know, strange.
Yes.
It seems like things are not the way they're supposed to be. I'm not walking on a plateau. I'm not walking on a mountain. I'm not walking in a valley. I'm walking through hard times. But each step I take is walking on the rock. I'm walking with God, Brother Joel, no matter what happens. Sister, God has got you in a special place. And we walk in with God. Our feet are set upon the rock of God.
Yes. Yes.
I have read in the scripture where God is immovable. Amen. David said, he's my fortress. He's my shield. He's my high place. He's my deliverer. He's my savior. And he is my rock. See, David had come to the understanding in all the troubles, in all the trials, and the people trying to kill him, people hating him, that there was a secret place that he could find with God. And God has got a designed secret place just for you. You remember Elijah when he slew Jezebel and went off and run and hid? He slew something off because he was afraid of Jezebel. Run into a cave, didn't he? What's a cave? It's a big rock with a hole in it. And Elijah run into that cave. He said, where's God? Where's God? Well, he was with God. He was standing on that rock. He had hid in that rock. Amen. And God finally spoke to him and said, hey, everything's going to be cool. Everything's going to be okay, Elijah. I'm going to take care of you. And that's what we have to recognize as we look down, that God has provided a secure place. It may be whirling around our heads. It may be just zooming and banging and trying to take us down. But what we got to recognize is we're standing on the rock of God. It's immovable. It's eternal. And it's our secret place. Praise God. In Luke, the 10th chapter, 17 through 20, the disciples who went out, God had sent them out two by two on a canvassing campaign to go through the countryside and tell them about the Lord. They come back rejoicing. They'd been rebuking the devils. Man, they was having fun serving God. God was giving them victory. And they got back and brought a report to the Lord. And the Lord said, no, don't be happy that the devils are subject to it, but rather rejoice that your name is written down in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's LBL, brother. Paradise. Amen. In the Lamb's Book of Life, our name is written down. I like what it goes on to say. It says that I have given you power. Everybody say power. To tread upon scorpions and upon serpents and over all the power of the enemy. And by no means shall anything harm you. You've been given power over this. Have you been given power? Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus shed his blood. This story didn't end right there. Jesus rose again. Amen. Then he rose again in our hearts. He gave us the Holy Ghost. And now we have that power. Oh, do us nothing better. The Lord has got some thinking, well, I'm just a little influential individual and I can't do much. I'm here to tell you what. That's a lie right out of hell. And I don't believe it. God has got a purpose for my life. If it's just to save one soul, to live through eternity, that's the purpose. And we need to recognize that what the devil's trying to send us off into slumber land, into snooze city, saying, oh, you're just a little ineffective individual. No, you're not. You have been given dunamis power. Dynamite power is what they're talking about, the Holy Ghost. In Acts, the second chapter, or first chapter, says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost. That word is dunamis. It's the Greek or the English word for dynamite. You realize you're a dynamo for God? Yes. Standing on that rock? Yes. You can do all things through Christ. Right. Yes, sir. We have an altar. Altars were made out of rocks. Amen. Yeah, we have an altar, Christ. And when we stand upon that altar, we can do all things through him that's strengthening us. Praise God. In Psalm 61, verses 1 through 2. Hear me when I cry, O my God. Attend unto my prayer. For the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Where my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I cannot do all things. Sometimes I think I can. But I'm being deceiving to myself. Sometimes the devil makes me think I can. And sometimes this world tries to make me think I can. But I'm here today to let you know I've just about not been all the way around the block on this. I've been about halfway. But I recognize I need God. My sufficiency is of the Lord. I need God. I need to stand on that rock. And sometimes I pray, God, pour concrete on my feet on that rock. I don't want to be moved from the church. I want to live in the church. Like David said, I want to dwell in the house of God all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. I started out this thing when, before I got the Holy Ghost. I said, God, I just want to live for you from now on. And I meant it. And I thank God when I told him that he answered that prayer. And I thank God it's been 33 years. He has been merciful to this boy. He has forgiven me many times. God has been good to me. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. We need to recognize the great tender mercies of God.
That's right.
Amen. The first place, when I do something and I mess up, I don't start walking back again. I fall on my knees.
Right.
I say, oh, God, I need you. I've sinned. Please forgive me, Lord. Please help me, God. And then he lifts me up and lets me walk again. Don't quit when you have adversity. Don't quit when you fall. But come to God and cry unto him and let him concrete your feet. It's part of the purpose in your life. I'm not saying God wants you to willfully sin. I'm not saying God leads you into sin, but he's got a plan for your life when you do. He wants to bring you back. He wants to establish you. That's putting concrete on the rock, establishing you. Brother, I've got trying not to waste my minutes here. In Matthew, the 7th chapter. Whew, I'll try to wrap it up here. Promise y'all won't go to lunch before I do. Stay with me. Matthew, the 7th chapter, 27th verse. If you'll read some passages before, it talks about those that profess Christ and said, we do workers, miracles, and this and that. He said, I know you not, depart from me. He goes on, this says, therefore, because of these other things, be careful who you listen to. Be careful who shoes and feet you put under their ministry. Amen. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man. Everybody say, wise person. Wise person. He which buildeth his house upon a rock. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. What's the rock? Jesus. Upon this, Peter says, thou art the Christ. This revelation of who Jesus is. Jesus is the rock. He's the rock of our salvation. Praise God. And he said, I'll build my church upon this rock. That's why we need to come to church. That's why we need to recognize we're a part of this church. That's why we need to sit under the ministry of a man of God and submit ourselves unto the Lord through the ministry of the man of God that teaches us and leads us. You're going to find salvation following a preacher that follows God. I promise you, that's who you, where you'll get to heaven is following. Because Paul said, we rejoice with them that hear our voice, but we weep over them that will not. Amen. Amen. God just didn't call a man to preach because he wanted somebody to preach. Somebody to say some cool words and make everybody feel good. He called a pastor to feed his sheep, to take care of them, to tend them, to watch over them, to make sure they get to heaven. We need to recognize just how valuable the ministry is in our life. We need a pastor. My pastor is still alive, thank God, and I still call him pastor. He's not pastoring anymore, but he's still my pastor. And he'll always be my pastor. And every time I see him, I thank him for what he put in my soul as a young saint. And from then on, praise God, he's a great man of God. I love him with all my heart. If it wasn't for him, there's no telling where I'd be. I thank God for a good pastor. Praise God. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. I don't know if anybody, we done got the Holy Ghost around here. Brother Joel blew out my ending. He started, I said, not now. God knew when to do it. Thank you, Brother Joel, obeying the Lord. Does anybody in here that didn't get the Holy Ghost that needs the Holy Ghost? Does anybody in here that didn't get a renewing in the Holy Ghost that needs a renewing in the Holy Ghost? Amen. Nobody? I thought I might be in the wrong church, but I know better. We done had it. We done had it. Sister that plays the music, would you please come up here? God wants to do something special here today. Already than what he's already done. It's special. The most special thing that happened here, folks got the Holy Ghost. That's the highlight of any service, of any part of anybody's life, is receiving the baptism of God's presence, getting that holy, powerful God to live inside this tabernacle. Oh, my, I'm so glad for the Holy Ghost. How about you? Aren't you glad you got the Holy Ghost? Aren't you glad you got the Holy Ghost? Praise God. And I don't know about most of y'all, but I didn't find God. God found me. I wasn't looking for God. I didn't want God. But God said, come here, boy. I got something to do in your life that I want to do. I've got a purpose, and I've got a place for you.